When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Warning, this podcast may contain bad language and content that some listeners may find dotty. Also, T's not here.
That good or bad?
I guess we'll find out. So far, I'm enjoying it.
Welcome to Seesaw Podcast.
With your hosts, Cleves and Selena.
Every week, bringing some much-needed balance and humour to brighten up what can sometimes be a dark, disabled world.
Welcome back to Seesaw Podcast. As T would say, the podcast of the, Braille Perkins with the... Braille Perkins? You wouldn't say that. The Perkins with the Braille paper stuck in it or something like that. It's good to be back. Maybe we do need to be back.
That's awful.
Look, it's all right, because we've got a good guest coming today. You know what I liked about this guest is that he's created his own business and he's doing things, and that's what we like to promote on this podcast. We have got Brandon Hulcoop from All Things Dotty. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you very much for having me on. Very much appreciated.
Excellent. So before we dive into what All Things Dotty is about, if you don't mind letting our listeners know a little bit about you and your visual impairment and just, you.
Yeah, fine. So I'm fat, for one thing. No, I'm not. I'm 22 years old, completely blind, registered with septo-optic dysplasia. So basically the nerves that should connect my eyes to my brain aren't long enough and they just hang in midair waiting for something to connect them. I absolutely love Braille art. I'm really into audiobooks, especially Doctor Who. So when all the episodes became available on iPlayer Audio Described last year, I was very happy indeed. I used to be a member of a rowing club. I'm looking into getting back into that now. And I'm also a member of a brass band playing the cornet. I get involved in as much as I possibly can. I don't let my sight loss stop me from doing what needs to be done.
You've obviously always been totally blind, is that right? You don't have any light perception, anything?
No, nothing.
Okay, no. So you're a proper blind person, as I like to say on this podcast.
Yeah.
Just nice to have another one on. So, All Things Dotty then. I mean, you just said you're 22, so quite young to be starting your own business. Tell us about that. What's All Things Dotty?
So, All Things Dotty is an idea that I had initially during lockdown. I was really quite fed up and wanted to do something a bit more interesting. I'd been doing Braille artwork since I was about 10. Little simple things like circles and triangles, and I enjoyed experimenting and putting them together. And then over the last sort of 10 years, I put them together to create details. And then as time went on, with my family's help, I developed it into like proper shapes, like dogs and cats and rabbits and things like that. So during lockdown, I started selling things like that, just Braille pictures on a bit of paper. Nothing massive, nothing clever. Then my birthday came around and I realized that actually I couldn't access my birthday cards. I've never have been able to access my birthday cards. What's wrong with this world? I'm quite upset with it. So again, April last year, I found myself having completed the enterprise course with the Prince's Trust. I had a mentor, Mike, who's also my business partner and now my best friend as well. And together we've turned All Things Dotty into a multifaceted national company, which is the joy of my life. We now provide Braille and large print greetings cards. So we do birthday, Christmas, Valentine's, Easter, Mother's Day, Father's Day, thank you, all sorts of things really, but they're all Braille and large print, personalized with messages of your choice. We partner with restaurants now to create Braille and large print menus. So we've got customers across England and Wales. Which is actually a really important point, because not being able to read your own menu when you go out with family can be a bit difficult, especially if you're trying to have a conversation and you can't, because you're the only one there who's having to have the menu shouted at you across the table from your mum or whatever. Do you want fish? Do you want chicken? What do you fancy? I don't know until I know what's on the menu. And we also create tactile colouring books as well. So these are the Braille pictures now that actually I put into a book and people can colour them in. Or visually, so sighted people can colour them in, or visually impaired people can explore them and find out what things look like. We have an animals and wildlife colouring book, which is any animal you can think of. We have a mythical and magical creatures book, which covers things like Harry Potter, How to Train Your Dragon, and Percy Jackson, that sort of thing, that sort of vibe anyway. And we've got products, you know, we've got just anything you need, really, and it's all personalized. That's the beauty of it. If you want to know what something looks like, ask us. I don't know, if you've got a family member who's into a certain thing, ask us, and I'm sure we can do it for you, because that's the sort of people we are at All Things Dotty. We just want to make the world an accessible place for everybody to live in, really.
Nice. So you've talked about the gifts and things like that, but you also talked about partnering with restaurants for things like Braille menus. How did you decide on those two sorts of revenue sources? You said you started off with the selling the art, if you like, during lockdown, but then this is a totally different side of a business, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Braille menus, I realized that there was hardly any restaurants that had them available. So we had Pizza Hut and I think it was Beef Eater. I think are the only two restaurants I knew of that had Braille menus. I did some research and realized that actually nobody else had them, no chains, and certainly no individual restaurants. Since I've started it now, especially in Plymouth where I live, there's lots of restaurants that have them. So I think I'm doing well there.
And how are you sort of dividing up the work then? Because I assume you're doing a lot of the Braille work, and is your partner doing more of the marketing side, going out and speaking to these companies, or how does it work? Are you splitting it?
No, basically. So I do a lot of the contacting and talking to companies. I do a lot of the Braille side of it. And then Mike helps with the logistics. So writing labels out for postage. I mean, yeah, he definitely sends emails out. He's definitely my chauffeur. I'll, you know, give him that. yeah, it's a bit hard to say, really, because we just do it. I mean, he does a lot of things like trimming things down if I struggle with it with a guillotine, sticking the Braille inserts into the cards, printing things off and lining things up and creating front covers and things like that. Anything visual, basically.
How do you sort of decide on the designs then? You know, for Braille cards, for example, does Mike decide on the visual design, or do you sort of come up with that together?
Yeah, I mean, we discuss it, obviously. So we think about, like, what's the most popular children's design, and we think are like party balloons and birthday cakes and things like that. And then Mike finds and creates the visual design, and then I, using German film, Mike will show me what that thing looks like, and then I copy it into Braille.
So how do you sort of add value to these sorts of things? And I guess it's the personalization, right?
Exactly, yeah. So each card comes with a personalized Braille and large print message, so that everybody, no matter how much sight they have, can read them and feel them. I think as well, it's the fact that there's tactile pictures on there, and they're so detailed without being too busy that anybody can understand what they are. I've had such good feedback from so many people saying, I've just been able to read and feel my very first birthday card. You know, people get quite emotional over it.
I was going to say, can you request grade 1 or grade 2 Braille?
Yeah, exactly.
Personalised like that?
Yeah. Anything like that. Same for large print, you can request a font. At Christmas, we did a Christmas card for somebody that needed size 72 font. And because that sort of thing's never available, he hasn't been able to read a Christmas card or a birthday card for his whole life. He doesn't know Braille, but he uses a magnifier. And we were able to do like a size, I think we did size 76 in the end, just to make absolutely sure that he could read it. And yeah, he could.
I imagine that must have been quite a big card.
It was two sheets of A4 stuck together.
Okay. And so obviously you've been blind all of your life, and over the years you would have had to purchase products specifically for your visual impairment.
Yeah.
And you must understand that these things cost a lot of money sometimes. So how have you worked out your pricing to make that, you know, feasible for visually impaired people and not just another thing that is expensive?
We base it on popular products that are in the market today. So we looked at Moonpig. We looked in our local card shops. We looked in Streamers, which is a card shop in Plymouth. We looked in the Card Factory, and we thought, like, okay, these are the really nice detailed cards with poems that are selling. Add the fact that there's Braille to that, and add the fact that there's they're all made by hand as well. Then they're not like machine processed or anything. Add that, you know, basically just added up all the factors, and then the fact that they're personalized anyway is a big contributor to it. So we base it basically on anything that's popular in the sighted community, and then add up the things that make it special and think of the time aspect of it. But we always try and keep it as low as similar as possible to the sighted replica, if you like.
Do you offer free shipping because you can send it articles for the blind?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Nice.
Well, why not? I mean, the RNIB do, and I don't see the point in charging shipping if there are free options available to us, you know. And it's the same for returns. We always provide a spare return label in the packet as well, if anybody wants to return it for whatever reason.
Can you return personalised gifts?
Well, you can. You just get a refund and then look somewhere else. Nobody's returned one. Everybody's been really happy with them. Do you know what I mean? So,
whereabouts is it that most of the sort of orders are coming from? Do you sell through social media? Is it on your website?
Yeah, so we've got Facebook and Instagram profiles, which actually, since we've taken on a couple of new recruits, they're flourishing. So we get a lot of orders from there, a lot of interest from there. Mainly people buy from our website, which is, it's just been relaunched, actually. So that's nicely prepared. A lot of it's word of mouth. So especially in terms of the Braille menus, that's through Mike and I going to these places and actually saying, look, this is what you should have available. LinkedIn's a good one as well for prospecting.
So you say the main place people go to purchase your products is through your website. How have you made that website accessible? You must have thought about that, surely.
Oh, yeah, of course I have. It's a hard one because our website's gone through a lot of development since we set it up. I remember putting posts up on Facebook and asking people to test it out and give feedback, and then Mike and I are able to go on and edit the website. So if there are aspects of it that aren't accessible from my point of view or from anybody else's point of view, we take any feedback on board that we get when people make orders and when people test it for us, and then we just go on and change it. We use Shopify, which is the number one shopping platform. So we quite often ask them for help as well in terms of, like, you know, what do you find is the most popular accessible template, if that makes sense. And then we adhere to that as much as possible as well.
And there are a few other sort of Braille gift sites out there. How would you say that AllThings.ie is different?
Well, I'd say a lot of it is personalization. The pictures on the front of the cards, for example, are actually made through Braille, not through like a raised plastic or a embossed film. I don't really know if I'm explaining myself properly, but a lot of it is the personalization. That's what sets us apart. And also the fact that we provide accessible menus and transcription services and things like that. It's not just a Braille gifting company. It's all multifaceted, if you like.
Yeah, I guess the main reason I asked is I did have a look at the website before we came on here, and it was, from what I mainly saw, was the gift side of things, but I didn't see as much of the business service side of it in terms of the menus and business services, I mean, if you like.
It's a new website. We only launched it 2 weeks ago.
Oh, wow.
So I'm always editing it and adding to it. And then we're still learning how Shopify works. For people looking to set up a website in a business, it can be a bit tricky. So I'm still getting my head around it. And then, yeah, the business support service will get its own section in time.
I didn't realize it was that recent that the website had launched, to be fair. Well, that's good.
Well, we had an old website launched through Fasthosts and it was awful. They had a lot of images on there that we couldn't do anything with, and we kept asking them for help. No, we can't do anything about that. And it was slow. It wasn't secure. It just had problems. And then one day we went for a consultant with the Prince's Trust, and he said, you know, he gave us some pointers and said, you need to go to Shopify. So we did.
And that's working out much better?
Much better. Yeah, everybody prefers it. Everybody's happy with it. It just works all around a lot better.
I imagine you get a decent amount of traffic through it as well compared to the old one.
Oh yeah, much. Yeah. We get a lot of business owners actually contacting me through LinkedIn saying, "Oh, I've just seen you do this service on Google. Can you tell me more?" And it's much bigger than it used to be, you know.
Yeah, that's nice. Especially Shopify's Google service, isn't it? So you've got that sort of light behind you as well.
Yes.
The whole sort of exactly. Google infrastructure, if you like.
Yeah, it's much better.
I was going to ask you, so with regards to Braille, I sort of view it a little bit, and this is by and large probably because I have never or have no intention of using it, as slightly antiquated in the sense that I don't really see it around much in society, and potentially technology is now overtaking Braille in a lot of areas. So do you think this still has a massive place in society at the moment?
Absolutely. Absolutely. The one thing, you have older people who don't know how to use the technology or can't use the technology for whatever reason. For another, you have a lot of visually impaired people who are just learning Braille and who are daunted by the prospect of using technology, so they don't want to know. Also, there's the fact that the only reason you don't see it in society is because nobody has it available, because nobody asks for it. Because they think that it's not available. Do you know what I mean? It's like a paradox. It's a vicious circle that you can't get out of until you start issuing Braille products into society today. And it's one of these things that is controversial.
Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50. In order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
At Highland, we're all about celebrating little wins and little ways to innovate digital processes. There's no customer pain point too small for us to help with. Maybe that's why more than half of the Fortune 100 looks to Highland to connect their content and data, improve processes, and turn little efficiencies into big wins for their customers and clients. Highland, intelligent content solutions for innovators everywhere at highland.com.
A new year, time for new growth. Grow your education and skills with Herzing University. Our online behavioral health programs fit your schedule and time. From an 8-month diploma program in health and human services to a 36-month bachelor's in psychology. Grow your behavioral health career with us wherever you are in your education. Your future starts now at Herzing University. Visit us online at herzing.edu or text health to 85109. Online at herzing.edu or text health to 85109.
Controversial, because a lot of people, you know, like yourself, say that technology is taking over, which in a way it is, but a lot of people still like to pick up a proper book. And in some cases, if you're deaf and blind, for example, you can't listen to what your phone's telling you, so you'd have to read the Braille. Or if the technology doesn't read the whole menu out to you, then again, you need the Braille. It's that extra layer of security. And as I say, in terms of security, in terms of modern day society, it's because it's just nobody's aware of it. No companies are aware of it. They think that people can just have them and you read to them.
Actually, to be fair, you made some good points there.
Thank you very much.
Especially like sort of considering deafblind people, and perhaps the technology isn't good enough yet to read everything. But surely technology will get better, and at some point it will, you know, it'll have that technology to read the menus, or a lot of menus are posted online, so I imagine there's technology out there that would read that PDF, well, not necessarily PDF menu, but, you know, whatever document menu it is online. So,
but then there's always the older people. There's always the older generation or the younger people who haven't got the confidence to use it. Technology is great, but there are always going to be members of society who don't want to use it for whatever reason, whether it's personal, whether it's fear, whether it's cautiousness. There's always going to be something. And then if technology fails, then what are you going to do? Or if the restaurant's website falls down, then what are you going to do? Sometimes, yeah, all right, you can get it online. But if you're deaf and blind, like I say, you're not going to have had the opportunity to look up the menu in advance. And if, you know, if you haven't got a mobile phone, or if you don't know how to use your mobile phone, then you can't look the menu up. Some websites are really inaccessible. Their menus are really inaccessible, even if they are online. So then what are you going to do? Do you know what I mean? It's these little things that Braille helps prevent problems.
You should have that on the wall of the business center at the back of you.
Maybe we will.
Yeah, it'd be a good tagline. Yeah, but okay, right. Do you know what? I absolutely get it for the gifting side of things. I mean, even if I, for example, did believe that Braille didn't have much of a place in society now, in terms of gifts and things like that, I think it's great. You're looking at a guy that collects vinyl records, and they haven't been relevant in years. So I absolutely get it from a gifting standpoint. I think it was just more of the business aspect that I was sort of questioning with regards to the technology being up and coming.
I guess, and my thing is with it is, how do you keep the menus up to date? Because that's the problem with Braille. You might get this Braille menu in a restaurant, but then what happens if the restaurant update their menu, which they might do quite regularly? What's the incentive for them to keep updating that Braille menu?
So we provide a half price update service. Because I have an embosser, which when I send the document to it, it brails out for me. So they're not all written out on the Perkins Brailler, which means that when the majority of the work's been done, the original menu is always going to be on our system. So to update it, add a couple of prices, remove a couple of dishes, you know, add a couple of sections, anything it might be, it's not going to take anywhere near as much time as it would if I was doing a whole new menu. So for restaurants purchasing a Braille menu, we tell them from the off that, yes, you will get a half price update service for the lifetime of your restaurant.
Do you think the market's there for that?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, even around Plymouth, we've had so much of an uptake from small restaurants to bigger restaurants. I'm going to London at the end of the week, and I have a meeting there with a man who owns three seafood restaurants in and around London. And it just goes to show, A, how far we've spread, and B, it's seafood, it's a restaurant, it's a buffet style restaurant, but they're still interested and they'd still like to know more. So I'd say the market was definitely there, because the number of visually impaired people who are in the UK, they want to cater for everybody. And it's also in the Equality and Human Rights Commission. All businesses, no matter their size, should think about providing information in accessible format for those who need it, whether it's Braille, CD, or large print. I understand that these places have got their menus online, but as I say, online can fail. So in order to adhere to that, and in some ways in order to adhere to the Equality Act as well, they're covering their own backs as well as other people's.
So, I've got two questions first. One, I'm really curious about these pictures that you make, and you say they're all done in Braille. Do you do that on a Perkins?
Some of them I do. Some of them are a little bit more difficult. So what we tend to do is using Tactile View, which is a software developing, a Braille development software, if you like. Mike will draw the picture as a line drawing, or we will find the line drawing and edit it. And then we will produce it. But yeah, a lot of our products we do on a Perkins. And in some ways, on the Perkins, you can create a really detailed picture by not going down the full line, if that makes sense. You can go down half a line and click another and press another button, and it creates an effect. So it's all about knowing the knacks and the the tricks with the Perkins.
Ah, interesting. So looking at the future for all things Dotty, what's the future got for you?
Well, the future, I mean, we are developing board games. So we're developing a football identification game. We're calling it the Kickabout Quiz. And people can get, or people have to figure out which team a particular logo represents, but it's all tactile. Little things like that, really. And then you roll the dice and you move forward however many spaces it tells you to move forward. We're also looking into developing a card reader cover, which would, for any companies who have a touchscreen cover, a touchscreen card reader, sorry, we're looking to develop a cover that you put over it, you slot over it, and it has Braille numbers on it so that you can easily identify and find out where the numbers are. And we're going to carry on developing all the colouring books and all the menus and everything we currently do. We're always open to ideas. So we've slowly introduced a bespoke design service. So if somebody asks for, I don't know, if somebody has a picture that they've never been able to see, for example, a picture of their parents, they can send that through to us and we'll produce it for them, or their family can send it over to us and we'll produce it for them. That is using the embosser, and it is completely accessible. You know, it's completely detailed, but not too busy, so you can easily identify each part of the picture.
Yeah, interesting stuff. So is this like creating your own business? Is this the only job you've ever had, or have you ever done any other job? Just out of curiosity, we like talking about jobs on this podcast.
No, it's fine. I worked for a company called Skilltech Training for a while. They provide training courses across the country, really, for companies who need it. I had a temporary, well, it wasn't temporary, but I made it temporary because I didn't like it there. I had a job with a mental health charity who didn't understand my needs and my capabilities at all, so everything got a bit awkward. And then I got a job with the RNIB working for their transcription centre in Ivy Bridge. And now I'm working for the DWP. So I work in the local job centre and I own my own business. So it's,
okay.
I'm very busy.
Just goes to show, doesn't it?
Yeah.
You can get work out there if you try, people.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. And no matter what your disability, no matter how severe your visual impairment, no matter any other conditions you have, people will always take you on because they know how much effort you will put in. Just keep trying. Anything's possible. A disability isn't a disability if you can learn to live with it. And I'm an independent traveller. I'm looking at flying over to Scotland on my own. Mike and I, we go off and do everything. We're going to London. We went to Southampton, visited schools and went sightseeing. And, do you know what I mean? You can have a very happy life. You just need a bit of extra support and you need to embrace it with both hands.
Is there sights to see in Southampton?
No. But whether it's...
I mean, Scotland, I get it. But
I mean, well, no. We're off to London at the end of the week and there are sights to see there. So, nice. You know, we're going to go and do it. We're also going to meet Lord David Blunkett, who used to be an MP and he's now in the House of Lords, obviously. He's taken a massive interest in the business and he supported me and given me advice all the way through. So we're going to go and see him and explore the House of Lords at the same time.
Casual name drop.
Yeah.
Love it. Yeah, it sounds like you've got loads of exciting things coming up. If you're willing to do so, we have one little thing that we were going to ask you about at the end. So we have a little like sort of mini series on the podcast called The Price is Blind. And effectively, we pick a product, someone will describe that product, and then the people at the end have to guess what the price is.
Okay. Yeah, I can give that a shot.
Seesaw Media is proud to present The Price is Blind with your host, Leeds. So come on down.
Play along at home and guess the prices of the following items for your chance to not win any of them.
Okay, in that case, what kind of product is it?
Okay.
I think do the colouring book. Maybe? Colouring book?
Okay, yeah, if that's what you want to do.
All right, we'll ask you some questions about it. Selena, okay. You go first.
Okay, so how many pictures can I get in one of your colouring books?
10 to 15.
Are all the drawings like raised line drawings? And how have they been created?
Mainly through the embosser, just to keep them the same size.
Okay. On this particular colouring book, what's the theme?
animals and wildlife. So anything from sort of pets all the way up to wild animals that you might not have seen before, because obviously you might not have felt a model or anything, if that makes sense.
Do the colouring books? God, I can't speak. Do the colouring books have a braille description of what the picture is?
They have a brief description at the top, yeah, top left.
Hmm.
Can the colouring books be personalised as well, like your other products?
Yep, we'll put a sheet in at the front in braille and large print with a message and a description and anything you want to go in there.
Does that come as an additional cost?
No.
Hmm.
What size are the pages in the colouring book?
They're all A4. If it helps as well, they're all bound via a clip folder, which means the pictures can be taken out and framed if you wanted.
Okay, no more questions. I think I'm going to take a guess at this.
Go on. Okay.
I was going to say £24.99.
You've gone high. Oh, so it's 10 to 15 colouring pages.
Plus it's like personalised and you get the binder part.
You have to add in a binder. I'm going to be brave. I'm going to say £15, £1 a picture.
So I can tell you, I mean, I know you're going to be a bit shocked, but bearing in mind, it is quite complex to put them together. They are
$29.95.
So
that's pretty close.
Oh, you were closer.
Nice.
We're always looking for ways to decrease the cost of our products, but at the moment, with the complexity of it, it just isn't possible.
I mean, to be fair, with it being customizable as well, not too bad.
And also, you can choose the pictures you put in there. So if there's a specific animal you've never felt before, then, you know, we'll make an effort to make sure that one goes in pride of place in the colouring book.
Damn it, we should ask that question.
Yeah.
Awesome. No, cool. Well, yeah, thank you very much for coming on. It's been a pleasure.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
Really interesting to speak about the business. And also, like I say, just with it being, in business terms, quite new as well. So it looks like you got a long road ahead and should be a fruitful one by the sound of it.
Yeah, well, we're celebrating this month because it marks our 12-month anniversary. We've made so much progress because obviously at the start, I was only providing like little pieces of artwork on little bits of paper and was considering closing the business. If it hadn't been for the Prince's Trust and now my best friend Mike, I wouldn't be where I am today. So I just, you know, I just wanted to say thank you for having me on, because hopefully by doing this, we'll raise our profile. We'll have a few people interested in our website and our products. And yeah, thank you very much.
Thank you.
No, all right,
speak soon.
And we're back again without T still. And we're doing okay without him. It's fine. It's fine.
Should I just insert like a little voice clip of him or something?
Oh, you know what T would have said about that episode?
I have some pairs of pants that I've had for more than a year.
Insert clip.
Nice.
But no, Brandon, he's just trying to do some good stuff, isn't he? Well, I mean, Andy had to deal with your grilling of braille.
No, it's fair to say that I don't have much of a knowledge about braille, but people are pretty hardcore for it.
Yeah, I've read a braille menu now before. I think in Pizza Hut, like he mentioned.
Oh my God, Selena, that was so terrible. That was almost the braille equivalent of a racist saying, "I have a black friend." To be fair, a lot of the time you'd be lucky to get a braille menu in a restaurant. So it's good that his business is also tackling that issue as well.
Yeah, and actually, we totally forgot to ask Brandon to share his socials, but he is on Facebook and Twitter and has a website, and all of that will be in the show notes.
Check it out. If you want gifts, go there. And if you're a business, also check them out. And
until next time, LinkedIn as well.
Oh, yeah, LinkedIn, Instagram. We're bad at this, man. Okay, well, thanks very much for listening. Keep it balanced, all that usual stuff. And we'll see you next week.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Seesaw Podcast. Your feedback and comments mean a lot to us, so if you'd like to get in touch, you can do so in the following ways.
find us on X at Seesaw Pod, Facebook, Instagram and YouTube at Seesaw Podcast. You can email us at seesawpodcast@gmail.com and you can stream with us live every week on Twitch at Seesaw Podcast.
Remember to like, rate, review and share with a friend.
This podcast was recorded in front of a blind audience.
We need to back. No, edit that bit out.